Welcome to the Sassy Creative Podcast. I'm your host, Katherine Hampton. I started my own handmade business as a hobby in 2013. After hours and hours of research and trial and error, I was able to grow my own handmade business from a hobby into a full-time income that now supports my family. My goal is to help you implement those same strategies that I use in my business so that you can skip the stress and get straight to success. Now let's get started. Hello, welcome to the Sassy Creative. I'm your host, Katherine Hampton. And today I want to talk to you about one of the, I don't know if it's the most difficult, but it's certainly the biggest lesson that I've ever learned as an entrepreneur. You know, as an entrepreneur, I've learned several hard lessons, but this one particular lesson that I want to talk to you about today, it's really stuck with me over the years. So I've been in business since 2013, and this lesson has become the basis for the majority of the decisions that I make in my handmade business. And when I learned this lesson, it hit me kind of hard, and it kind of hurt my feelings. And while it was a difficult lesson for me to learn, I'm extremely thankful for it because this lesson has helped to, you know, keep my eye on the prize, so to speak, and to keep me true to myself and my mission as my business has continued to grow. So now, if you're going to succeed in business, you're also going to need to learn this tough lesson too. You're going to need to keep it in the back of your mind and refer to it whenever you're faced with decisions, big or small decisions. It's something that you're going to need to refer back to. So what's this big lesson? The most important lesson that you can learn as an entrepreneur is that no one loves your business as much as you do. Did you hear me? No one loves your business as much as you do. It's kind of harsh, right? And I know that it may, you know, sound callous, but it really is an unfortunate reality of your life as an entrepreneur. It's just the cold hard facts. And I don't know about you, but my handmade business, it feels like an actual limb of my body. It started out as an idea, you know, it was nothing and it was just a dream. And then it developed into this living being that now takes daily care and attention. I have to pay attention to it. I have to help it grow. And no matter what I'm doing, it's always at the back of my mind. Well, you know, there are people throughout the past few years that have witnessed and can attest to how much time that I've spent growing my business. I'm really the only one who understands what's gone into its growth. I'm really the only one who understands how much building my business has consumed my life. So the truth is that no one else in the world truly knows the number of hours or blood, sweat, tears, anxiety attacks that have been poured into building your handmade business. So I have no doubt that you can say the same thing for your business as well. And as an entrepreneur, you know your business inside and out. You know every little detail that's gone into making every single product, every single post, every little thing, the nitty-gritty detail of everything. And this also includes, you know, all the hours that you spent learning your craft, you know, to begin with. So like when you even started, and depending on what you make, you may have spent several years or your whole life learning your artistry before you were able to sell it. This is exactly, all of those things are exactly why you are the one person in the whole wide world who will treat your business with the utmost care, respect, and attention that it deserves. So you know exactly what it has taken to build your business, to grow it into what it is. And, you know, unfortunately, because no one else knows that, there's really just this element to everyone else that it's just another thing. So your business is just, you know, another thing that's there's other things that, you know, you can put it off. Oh, you can go do this instead. Oh, can't that wait? But you really know the importance and the gravity of everything that's gone into building it. And I don't say all this stuff to be flippant. I say this to make you aware that you are the best person to make decisions for your business. You are also the best salesperson to sell products for your business. So let me give you an example. When I first started my handmade business, I, you know, in addition to selling on Etsy, which is where I started, I also offered my products in a few local shops. So I would spend, you know, hours and hours trying to make my booth look trendy and inviting. And, you know, no matter how I styled my booth, my items, they just weren't selling. I was, you know, honestly barely making my booth rent. My products, you know, they weren't selling in the booth, but they were still selling really well on Etsy. So I couldn't figure out what the issue was. You know, when people were seeing my products in person, they weren't selling, but it was the same product that I was selling online versus the product that I was selling in person. So I tried redecorating, I tried repricing. I mean, I was doing everything that I could think of for my little booth. I was even like playing music in there and put flashing lights, just everything. Nothing worked. It was still no sales, nothing but crickets. So determined to, you know, I was just determined to figure it out and prevent those shops from being a total money suck, which was really like my main purpose. Was I didn't want to just lose my, you know what, and the money in booth rent. So I decided that I was going to spend a few days actually working in the shops and be on site to try to get a better idea of what was, you know, happening from day to day. And lo and behold, I had really good sales numbers on the days that I was on site. But do you know why I had good sales numbers? It's because someone was actually there, and that someone being me, I was there to bring customers to my products. I was there to say, hey, I have the perfect item for you. Let me take you to it, and then take them back to my booth. Then I could explain why my items were so great and why they needed it, and then make the sale. Now, the front desk girls, while they were lovely, they were just pointing to the back of the store saying, yeah, you know, I think there's something like that over there. And, you know, leaving the customer to figure it out for herself or himself. And, you know, the front desk clerks, they really had no skin in the game. So they didn't love my products like I did. They didn't really truly care if they sold. They didn't really truly care if the customer liked the product or bought anything. They were going to make their hourly wage one way or another. So after this happened, I had a huge realization that I needed to be in charge of selling my handmade items. My online sales were better because I was in charge of getting the listing in front of customers. I was in charge of communicating with the customers. And, you know, it was unrealistic for me to be at the booth every day. So I ultimately decided to, you know, remove my products from the booths and focus solely online. This decision that I made to be in control of everything, to be the sole person selling my products, is what allowed me to grow to the next level. I took that resistance out and that, I guess, for lack of better word, money suck out, where I was allowing other people to be in charge of selling my items, and that propelled me into the next level. So let's look at this from the perspective of selling online. So you have Etsy, Shopify, Amazon Handmade, wherever you sell online. That platform, they really don't care about your business as much as you do either. It's the same concept. Jeff Bezos, he doesn't care about your sales. Josh Silverman, he's certainly not worrying about your sales when he lays his head down at night. You know, while Bezos and Silverman are certainly happy to collect your fees for listing and, you know, selling your products, they're really not all that concerned with your overall sales numbers, like you specifically. There's plenty of other people that are collectively making the money, so they're not worried about you specifically. So who is concerned about your shop stats, and who is concerned about how you pay your bills? Well, that would be you, right? So is this a little depressing? Maybe. But once you realize this and you kind of accept it and say, okay, so I'm really the only one that cares about this, you can start to take control of your handmade business and work on growing your sales and deciding what's best for you instead of waiting for the platform to take the lead. So if they don't care about your business, what's the point? What are you going to do? The point is that they give you the key to the door. These platforms, they give you the opportunity to set up your shop and have access to their customers. So that key is access to the customers who shop on their platform. There's customers who, you know, trust making purchases on those platforms. Some customers feel better about shopping on Amazon based on previous experiences. Some customers feel better shopping on Etsy based on previous experiences. They may have had a really bad experience on Amazon, and so they don't want to shop there anymore. They think they're going to be scammed, and vice versa. So these customers, based on which platform it is, they feel safe putting their bank information on that platform and know that they're going to be protected if something goes wrong. So this is what you're receiving in exchange for paying that platform to post your products on their site. So once you've posted your items, you've got that key to be on the platform because you posted or you've been approved or you're going to have to pay the commission or whatever that fee is. But you're responsible for doing the rest of the work. Etsy and Amazon aren't going to sell your products for you. There are some ways like that they will help boost you if you want to talk about paid promotions and things like that. But overall, you are the one that's going to be responsible for selling your products. This is where you and your love for your products, your passion for your products, your dedication to your business, that's where that comes into play to sell your products. So remember, you know, the lovely ladies at the shop who are just pointing to the products in the corner? That's essentially what happens when you search for something on Etsy or Amazon. Someone, let's say, types in monogram bracelet in the search bar, and then Etsy brings up thousands of results for the customer to sift through. Well, this is essentially Etsy saying, okay, well, we found 1,000 monogram bracelets or 2,000 monogram bracelets. So look in this general direction. You'll probably find something you like. Good luck. So you can't plan on consistent sales if you count on this business model alone. If you want to sell online, you'll need to, you know, you're going to need to choose a platform to sell on. That's just par for the course. You can't just sell out of thin air. You've got to have a model for a platform, or even if you have your own website, you have to know how to be found on Google. So that's just part of it. But once you set up the shop, you also have to become the best salesperson for your business. You can't depend on the platform to do it for you. So how do you do this? By taking charge of your business and not relying on the platforms to do the work for you. If you wait on these other people to sell your products for you, you are going to be sorely disappointed in the outcome because it's more than likely not going to happen. You may get lucky and get featured one time and go viral for one thing, but it's going to be short-lived. So how do you take charge of your business? There's maybe three key ways that you can really hone in on to take charge of your business. The first way is to drive your own traffic to your shop. You know, there's several ways to do this, and you don't need to feel like you need to do all the things. As a solopreneur, if you try to do every single thing that would, you know, drive traffic to your shop, and you just want to do everything in the world, you're going to end up burning yourself out really quickly. So just try to focus on, you know, two or three traffic sources that suit your handmade business best and then learn them well. Get really, really good at them. So you can drive your own traffic by posting on social media platforms like Instagram or Facebook, or posting on Pinterest, which For most businesses, Pinterest, if you only choose one thing to use to drive traffic to your shop, Pinterest is the one that I highly recommend. Now, if you have a bigger budget to work with, you can also use paid advertising by, you know, way of paying for promoted ads or sponsored posts. But to be the most effective at driving your own traffic, it's important to research your target audience and learn where they spend their time online. If your customers are hanging out on Facebook and Instagram, then it doesn't make sense to post on Twitter. That's just wasting your time. Or if your customers are hanging out on Twitter and LinkedIn based on whatever you're selling, then you don't really need to be spending your time on Instagram and Facebook. So just make sure you're researching where your customers are hanging out. And that's usually just as simple as figuring out your target market age and a quick Google search of who spends the most time where. So you also want to be sure to interact with your customers when you're posting online. This helps to build trust. So if you just post and run, this is going to come off as spammy, and your customers are not going to really think very highly of your brand. They're not going to find it to be genuine. So once you start posting on these platforms or posting on Pinterest, make sure that you're responding to comments and questions as much as possible. Once you get bigger, it may not be possible to respond to everything, but at least try to interact as much as possible so that your customers know that you are, in fact, a real person running a real shop. You're not just some sort of mass production shop out of China that's trying to make a lot of money quickly and then run. So the second way to take charge of your shop is to build brand loyalty. A lot of these platforms are wanting to say that their customers are Etsy customers or their customers are Amazon customers, but you want to turn them into your customers. So this is a long-term strategy, and it takes time and patience to build a customer base who may get on Etsy and then search for your shop specifically, or get on Amazon and then search for your shop specifically. So you do have to be patient, but building a business of repeat customers, that means that you're not having to constantly work for new customers, which, I mean, that sounds pretty amazing, right? So these are people who already love your product, they trust you, and they're coming back for more. And you're not having to pay to advertise to these customers, you're not having to work as hard to advertise to these customers. And consumer research, which this is really exciting, shows that it's 6 to 7 times more expensive to acquire a new customer than it is to get a sale from an existing customer. And even more exciting, repeat customers also spend about 33% more than new customers. So you really want to work on impressing your customers, rewarding them for returning to your shop. And then you can also build customer loyalty through amazing customer service, quality products, interacting with your customers online, like we talked before, or any sort of VIP programs that you might be able to implement in your shop, just so that you're getting those customers to come back again and again, instead of having to constantly fish for new customers. Now, the last way that I want to talk to you about taking charge of your shop and being the one that makes decisions for a shop is being careful about who you listen to. So everyone has an opinion, right? I mean, clearly I have an opinion. I've been giving you my opinion for the last 20 minutes, but not all advice is good advice. And it's important to be able to tell the difference, especially when you're making business decisions. So you don't want to listen to everyone. You want to find a handful of artisans or coaches that give really good information, and then they're helping you stay focused and stay on track. This can be general business coaches, artisans in your niche, or just someone who you just overall find inspirational. But the most important thing is to be sure that you're following people who are where you want to be, you know, that are close to your future goals, or who have successful shops, successful businesses, whatever it is, but that they match your goals and listen to them. The people complaining on the forums that are saying, you know, the world is ending, the sky is falling, oh my gosh, what's going on? Those are usually not the people you want to get advice from. People that are doing really well and having a lot of sales, they typically don't have a lot of time to sit on the forums and just complain all day long. And people who make good decisions are typically, if they're met with low sales or they see something going on in their shop, they're going to know, rather than spending that energy online complaining, to put that energy into their shop to try to improve whatever's gone on. So that's not really, those are not really the people that you want to listen to or follow, or even to let get you upset and worked up about what's going on, you know, on the interwebs. So just find someone who is successful and soak up as much knowledge as you can from them and adapt it to your shop in the best way that you're able to. But the main thing that I want you to learn from all of this is that when you realize that you are the one that loves your business most, that no one loves your business as much as you do, it makes it much easier to get crystal clear about your goals and the decisions that need to be made. You can, you know, start to better discern who to listen to and who needs to be tuned out. You can also get super focused on building your own customer base so that you have repeat customers and you can stop worrying about someone else bringing in your sales for you. You are the one that gets to be in control of bringing in your customers. So there's a ton of freedom, even though that it's kind of not a good feeling to think, well, nobody really cares about my business as much as I do. There's a ton of freedom that comes with knowing that you are actually in charge of your business, not the people who run the platform. I mean, after all, you did start your business to be your own boss, right? So once you take charge of your business in this way, then you can maintain your stats no matter what the platform throws your way. And then you can just be like, take that, Etsy. So I just want to thank you for joining me today on the Sassy Creative Podcast. If you're finding these episodes helpful, I would greatly appreciate you sharing the podcast with a friend. I would also love to connect with you outside of the podcast in the Sassy Creative Business Bestie Facebook group. This is a free Facebook group that I've set up for listeners of the show. So to join, please go to thesassycreative.com/Facebook and click the photo. I have a couple of big projects in the works for the Business Besties, so just be sure to get in the group so that you get first access and any sort of freebies and stuff that will come with it. So thanks again for joining me. I look forward to talking to you soon. Have a great week. Bye.